This is a Sports Radio 740 podcast on sportsradio740.com.
And that literally I still believe is the only guy that covers the SEC when it comes to college basketball. We have plenty of guys that can talk college football, but Blake Lovell does this for college basketball and specifically for the SEC. And Blake, I'll ask you the question we were at talking about probably an hour or so ago is, what is the real reason why Alabama's on a five-game losing streak right now?
that's a million-dollar question, isn't it?
Yeah, I know, right?
It's interesting because, you know, obviously they had the game like they had against Florida, and that's one of those things where if you play that half over again, the way that game started 100 times, you're not going to get that same result again, I don't think. You're just not going to see a team with that much talent go 4 of 30 from the floor and all that. But, you know, when you look at the other games, aside from the Auburn game where I think, you know, it's a rivalry game, you never really kind of know what you can expect. I didn't think Alabama played that bad at Kentucky. They didn't play that bad against Arkansas, and they didn't play that bad against Texas A&M. But those are all tournament teams that we just mentioned. And I think that's the biggest reason is playing a stretch like this at the end of the season where you're already – you've gone through that grind, and we know once you get to the end of the season, you got to find that extra little something to kind of get yourself over the hump. And Alabama played their toughest stretch of the season here in their last five games. And I think just a combination of that and just not being able to kind of turn that corner. And I think once it built, they just couldn't find a way to get over that hump in these last five games. And now that's put them in a position where, you know, things are going to be interesting depending on the outcome of Thursday. That's for sure.
Well, Blake, and you know, we mentioned about the losses and obviously, and it's been baffling about, you know, how all this has gone down. But a guy that I noticed who's just vanished is Daniel Giddens. I mean, you know, Dante Hall wasn't playing many minutes and got the ball almost never the last two or three games. But Daniel Giddens is like, he's like a unicorn. I mean, where in the world is he?
And I'll be honest with you. I thought, and, you know, I think it's always hard to kind of understand or kind of be able to predict how a guy's going to kind of fit into a team in terms of what his value can be when he's transferred from somewhere else. As good as players are, we don't necessarily know how they're going to fit in. I mean, look at a guy like DeShaun Murray for Auburn. We thought he'd be pretty good, but he's been really, really good. I mean, he's been like a rock for them. Look at Igor Kulichov from Florida. We thought he may just be, you know, just kind of an added scoring presence, but he's really kind of carried them, and we've seen how explosive he's been on offense. With Giddens, it's like, you know, even at the start of the year, it just felt like, you know, obviously he's had the foul issues and all that. That's been a common theme for him this season. But for some reason, it just felt like he didn't really fit into the style of play that they wanted to play. And I think because of that, like you said, you're seeing him not sort of being in a factor in sort of any way whatsoever here this past month or so of the season. Maybe longer than that at this point. And I think it's been disappointing because you kind of came into the season expecting him and Dante Hall. You can kind of just interchange them, maybe get the same type of production from both. But that just hasn't been the case. And I think it's been a very disappointing season for him, and I think Avery Johnson would say the same thing.
Blake, a little while ago, we were talking about Auburn and the fact that them and Tennessee are co-champions. But we kind of asked the question, who do we really think is the best team as of right now going into the SEC tournament next week? Who do you think is the best team going into the tournament next week or this week?
It's tough. I mean, I think, and I know people are going to talk about this a lot, but I think when you look just at the tournament itself and you say, okay, who's the best team going into the tournament? Who is the best team, you know, based on how everything's kind of played out? I've been a believer in Auburn all season long. But admittedly, when Anthony McLemore went down, knowing the type of changes that would sort of make just on the defensive end of the floor, just because of how much of a presence he was on that end of the floor, you're talking about a top 12 block shot blocker in the country. So a guy that can impact the game in that way. You take him out of the equation, and Auburn has looked vulnerable at times without him. And when I look at Tennessee, there's just something about this Tennessee team, and I think I said it even before the season started. Now, I was one of the doofuses that picked Tennessee like 12th in the SEC.
That's all right.
So just for full disclosure, but I still, even at that point, said if there's a team that could sort of surprise us all, it's Tennessee. And the reason why is just that sort of toughness. Now, I think you don't see that with some of these teams where you just have a team that goes out every single game and they just out-tough people, they out-work people. And I think when you can play like that, even when you don't have a superstar, and Grant Williams, I think, is a very, very good player, but for some reason people aren't going to equate him as a superstar. They are just a fully balanced team, and their ability to win on the road this season, you know, so many wins away from home. They beat Purdue earlier in the season. They had a chance. I mean, they were playing very well against Villanova. They just look like a complete team all season long. And I think right now, if you look at the SEC tournament bracket, who's the team I think has the best chance to get to the championship, and I'd feel the most confident about getting there, it would probably be Tennessee.
Well, you know, and Tennessee's been a surprise. A team that's been a surprise to me, but for a different reason, is Kentucky. They're sitting right now 21-10, and the RPI, they're 17. I got an amazing strength of schedule. They're 6-9 against the RPI top 50, and with all the talent they have, you know, they're so, it's so crazy. They win three in a row, lose four, win four, and now they're back to a loss that really wasn't very close at Florida. What do you expect out of this team?
And that's the big question, because it's funny, because somebody asked me earlier, we were talking about, you know, which SEC teams you trust, and we went just down the line, and we were trying to figure out, okay, who do you trust the most in a tournament? Who do you feel the most confident in talking about getting past that first weekend? I can't say that I am confident at all in Kentucky getting past the first weekend. Now, the advantage Kentucky's going to have is that we know pretty much every game they play is going to be a home game, no matter where it's at.
Right.
It could be in St. Louis this week. It could be in Boise, Idaho. It could be in Maui. It doesn't matter. They're always going to have sort of a home field advantage, I guess you could say, home court advantage. And so that's going to give them that extra something. But this team is still just not one that you feel like you can rely on, because they've been up and down. We all know about the youth. They're young every year, but we've definitely seen that, you know, when we talked about going into the season that this was Kentucky's youngest team, we've definitely seen that because they've just had stretches where they've been up and down. But those wins they had there before that loss at Florida, very impressive. And I think if they can play that way, they certainly have the talent to get there. But, like I said, too, you could also see Kentucky losing a first-round game or losing a second-round game just because we know how good Kevin Knox can be. We know how good those guys can be when they all play to their potential. But I think what you've seen is you haven't seen everybody do that on the same night. If they do that, they can be scary. If they don't, I think they could get beat by anyone.
Blake Lovell's joining us right now. You can follow him on Twitter at TheBlakeLovell. In fact, he does two podcasts, the Marching to Madness podcast, the Southeast Hoops podcast, which one of those he had a guy on that we have had on here on Sports Radio 740 and Shelby Mast. So you can go and make sure that you listen to that. But, you know, you've mentioned Kentucky. We've talked about Alabama. And two things that we found in common with this, or one thing I should say, is that they have a lot of youth, but they don't have any of that veteran leadership. And we started wondering about the teams that are built right, that has a lot of youthful, or good youthful players, but also has the veteran leadership, the role player and all that. Which team in the SEC is built right? They don't have to be the best team, but is built in a way that you look at and go, man, that's the way that you build a basketball team.
I don't know if this team I would classify as maybe this is the way you would build a team, because of their defensive issues at times this season, and they just simply – sometimes they're just not there mentally on the defensive end of the floor, and we've seen it. And I think arguably, other than Alabama, they've probably been maybe the most frustrating team in the SEC this year. But yet, some reason, I always go back to Florida. And I think it's because of the way we saw them play earlier in the season at the PK80. They had the big win, double overtime win over Gonzaga. They should have beaten Duke. I mean, they lost that game by three. Should have beaten Duke. That started their little skid where they just didn't play well. But I think in seeing what Florida's done the past week here, beating Auburn, Alabama, Kentucky, the way they've done it, for some reason I still am convinced that Florida can be a team that can be that sleeper sort of Elite Eight, Final Four type of team, because offensively they're so good. And when they're good, they can explode offensively, probably unlike any other team in the SEC aside maybe Auburn. I just think they're that good on offense. So if they can find a way, they have Christio, you talked about that leadership. He's a guy I would want leading my team because he has that experience. He's a veteran guy. We've seen him make big plays in March. I'm still going to keep going back to Florida, and I'm sure it'll bite me at some point. But seeing the way they've played this past week or so, I think maybe they're fighting their way here, and I think they could be dangerous.
Okay, so Blake, so we know that Auburn and Tennessee are co-champions, and the Auburn people here are saying we're champions because we beat them straight up. I didn't make up the rules. I'm just calling it like I see it. Okay, so there's no doubt about that. Who is the player of the year in the SEC?
And it's funny. I was filling out my first team all SEC yesterday, and you know I'm like, okay, well I guess I got to put 7, 8, whatever it is. And all of a sudden, I start making my list. I'm like, all right, well, I can narrow it down. And I looked up, and I had like 16 guys. And I'm like, well, that's not going to cut it because I got to get this narrowed down. And I think this is the year where it's so hard to kind of define that first tier because I think you can make the case for everybody on the second team being on the first team. I know Georgia has had a very, very frustrating season. And sort of in rare cases do we see the player of the year come from a team that finishes that low. But I still think top to bottom, Yonte Bates is the best player on the floor in every game. He's continually done that all season long. I think you could look at guys like Bryce Brown, Mustafa Heron, even Jared Harper, I think, is an underrated type of guy that doesn't get enough credit for what he's done. Grant Williams, obviously, at Tennessee. But I still think when you look at the overall numbers, there was no player probably as important to his team when you talk about just what Yonte Bates done. Even last year, I thought he was a guy that probably had a really good chance to be in that mix just because of how well he played last year. And now without J.J. Frazier this year, he's been really, really good. He just hasn't had enough help around him.
And you mentioned Georgia, but, you know, again, you mentioned their team hasn't done that great. And there's a potential that by the time, you know, we're here looking at brackets that Mark Fox isn't going to be the head coach at Georgia. How many coaches do you think that after this SEC tournament is over with is going to be gone?
Well, I think that the Georgia ones – well, and I think there are other reasons that could come into play there, and I think you guys know exactly what we're talking about.
Absolutely.
In terms of all this, you know, the FBI stuff and what's yet to come and all that. And that's very unpredictable at this point. But I think just in terms of pure, you know, and we know, I think just in terms of pure what's happened on the court this season, Mark Fox, he lost Ashton Hagans, the 5-star commit. That was a big get for them, and now losing him, it puts him in a really tough spot. And I don't really know why expectations are so high for Georgia this year. Some people had high expectations, but you lose a guy like J.J. Frazier. I know you have Yonte Bates, but it's like he's not someone you can replace overnight, and I just thought they were going to struggle no matter what this year. But it's going to probably be tough for him to keep his job, I would say, at this point. But then again, let's go back to what we just said, too. Whatever happens with this FBI stuff, there are going to be teams and programs and administrators that say, we don't really know if we should make a move right now because
right.
We don't know what else is going to happen. And we don't know what coaches are going to be, you know, in this hot water and all this. And when you think of somebody like Mark Fox, you know, he's not in that mix. So I think that could be interesting based on whatever else happens. It could save him his job, honestly.
Well, Blake, man, we appreciate it. We know that you're going to be up in St. Louis, so people can be going over following you on Twitter at TheBlakeLevel for all information that's going on during the tournament, man. And we appreciate you coming on before you heading up to St. Louis.
Always enjoy it, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, thanks,
have
Blake.
A good one,
appreciate
man.
It, man.
He is fantastic.